Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are currently in a section of our study that we have entitled the Jewish Trial. The events surrounding that trial of Jesus leading up to the cross by the Jews. Today we are going to complete this section of our study as we examine now today the death of Judas. Now this is recorded in Matthew chapter 27 verses 3 through 10. We will also note today Acts chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Now let's go to our text. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together, and bought with them the potter's field, to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now also let's note Acts chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that field is called in their own language, Akel Deama, that is, field of blood. And of course the reference being there to Judas. So now let's today consider the death of Judas. We go back to verse 3 there in Matthew 27. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders. When Judas learned that the Lord had been condemned to death, he tried to make an attempt to return the money which he had taken from the priest to betray Jesus. Though Matthew here points out the death of Judas at this point, it is only possible for him to know of assuredness that Jesus had been condemned after the judgment of Pilate. However, he would be fully aware of the political winds and where this was all headed. And we're told that Judas became remorseful as he realized what was about to happen to Jesus. Some versions say that he was repentant. McGarvey, in his writings, believe that Matthew inserted this event here so as not to disrupt the subsequent narration of the final events up to the cross. And I would certainly think that that is a very plausible explanation for why these events were inserted in the writing at this point. Now, why did Judas take such drastic steps to betray Jesus? Was it greed for the 30 pieces of silver? Or perhaps was he angry at Jesus for having rebuked him earlier concerning the treasury in chapter 26, verses 6 through 14? Let's read that now again and refresh our mind on that. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest. Whatever the reason for the actions of Judas, his remorse or repentance was certainly not one of a godly sorrow, but rather a worldly sorrow. For godly sorrow will bring forth repentance and the fruit of repentance. To go and to kill oneself is certainly not indicative of godly sorrow. The sin of the suicide certainly is not the repentance that Jesus seeks. Remember what we read. Judas said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." In verse 4. Judas confesses that he has sinned by betraying innocent blood to the elders and chief priest. Judas, having betrayed Jesus, would not have said that Jesus was an innocent man if he was not. Judas could have taken much solace in this situation if Jesus had done the slightest wrong to any one at some point in time. But Judas condemned his own action with the statement that he had betrayed the innocent blood of Jesus. The grief of Judas, however, was not the grief or sorrow that Jesus is looking for in a sinner. Godly sorrow produces repentance, but worldly sorrow will not. Judas was consumed with guilt, but it was worldly sorrow and not godly sorrow. And this would lead to further sin on the part of Judas in the taking of his own life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The elders and chief priest were presented with evidence by Judas that his actions were sinful and that Jesus was an innocent man. Their reaction to Judas is about what one would expect of such evil men. They said, "What is that to us? You see to it." They were not moved by the confession of Judas. Judas had simply been a pawn to their evil, and he had helped them out significantly in accomplishing that very evil. Judas had hoped that they would see the situation and stop it. Judas had caused this to happen, and the only way out of his sinful situation would be repentance as a result of godly sorrow, and to then turn and bring forth the fruit of repentance. But Judas would not do that. But he could have. Saul of Tarsus was in a similar situation, and he took the correct action to fix his problem. But Judas did not. And as we noted in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the end is death. And we see in verse 5 in our text that he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The elders and the priest had refused to take the money back from the now filled with remorse Judas Iscariot. So Judas now flings the money toward the Jewish leaders. And then, overwhelmed with his guilt, he leaves the temple and proceeds to go out and hang himself. The actions of Judas were further fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Notice the prophet Zechariah in chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Then I said to them, "If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain." So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter, that princely price that they set on." So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. It is very possible that Judas did not believe that his actions would lead to the death of Jesus, as he had witnessed Jesus in many difficult situations in the past, and Jesus always had managed to avoid disaster in each situation. But greed had overcome Judas, and Satan had attacked his weakness and devoured him. Satan probes for your weakness. Always has, always will. And as the prophet Malachi referred to him as the devourer, it is a fitting description, for he seeks whom he may devour. Now Luke recounts these events taking place in Acts. Let's go now to Acts chapter 1, there at that first Pentecost, and notice beginning in verse 16. Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language Acheldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Now back to our text in Matthew 27, verse 6 says, but the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood. The priest felt that it would be improper to put the money into the temple treasury, since it was used for blood money. There apparently was no end to the hypocrisy of the priest. They had no qualms about killing Jesus. They just did not want to keep the money. Verse 7 says, and they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. The priest decided to use the money to purchase the potter's field as a burial ground. They referred to it from then on as the field of blood, and that was certainly a fitting name. Brother Winton noted in his commentary that the place was called the potter's field because it had likely been stripped of the layer of clay for use in making pottery. It would have been left as a rather worthless piece of real estate. Now, verses 9 and 10 said, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. And so the sad fall of Judas had come to its completion. Judas had committed a great sin. But many others have also committed great sins. Judas could have repented with a godly sorrow and been forgiven, but instead, he chose to compound the sin by murdering himself. Many people today have much to be forgiven of. In fact, all men have much to be forgiven of. But Jesus will forgive, and he will accept those who repent with a godly sorrow and bring forth the fruit of repentance. Saul of Tarsus was a man with much to be forgiven of, and he repented and brought forth fruit. Let each of us learn the lesson from the sad example of Judas Iscariot. I want to thank you for joining me today. Next week, if we're together and the Lord wills, we'll move to a new section of our study as we turn our attention toward the Roman trial of Jesus. I hope you'll join me then. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.